U.S. troops are rolling into Sadr City, one of Baghdad's most notorious neighborhoods. General David Petraeus, the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq, talked about the operation today in a news conference. He says the move is part of a joint Baghdad security crackdown.
The upward spiral we all want begins with Iraqi and coalition forces working together and locating in the neighborhoods those forces must secure. This concept features Iraqi and coalition soldiers partnering with local police to establish joint security stations.
Unlike earlier American forays into mostly Shiite Sadr City, this mission is more about courtesy than combat. Soldiers in battle gear ride in imposing Stryker vehicles, but they hop out and give candy to children. The mission's leaders admit the soft approach isn't likely to net lots of bad guys or weapons caches, but they say earning the trust of residents is paramount. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson has the story from Sadr City.
When U.S. soldiers came to Sadr City in the past, it usually sounded like this. This week, the military's arrival sounded a bit different.
How are you?
Doing great.
The friendly American chatting up a Sadr City man sitting on a plastic chair outside his home is a battle-hardened soldier named Lieutenant Colonel Evangelus Smiley.
How's everybody doing?
Smiley is part of the renewed U.S.-led effort to bring security to war-torn Baghdad neighborhoods like Sadr City. The way Smiley sees it, winning trust and helping the Iraqi government take care of people's needs are the best ways to end growing sectarian violence. He says providing electricity and other basic services will turn the tide against Sunni and Shiite death squads and al-Qaeda in Iraq.
I get more just kind of talking and feeling and pulsing people than you do anything else, because that's how you figure out how to move ahead, you know what I mean?
His men are teamed up with Iraqi police officers and soldiers to secure a small sliver of Sadr City where U.S. troops and Iraqi army and police units are opening a joint security station. It's one of about 30 mini-bases springing up inside Baghdad neighborhoods as part of the three-week-old security crackdown. The goal is to make the Americans more visible to violence-weary Baghdad residents and improve ties with local leaders, and at the same time improve American intelligence on insurgent activity. But Smiley admits intelligence gathering will work both ways. The Shiite-dominated Iraqi police force his troops are teamed up with is friendly with one of the main targets of the security crackdown, the Shiite militia known as the Mahdi Army.
You know, you hear about militia influence in the Iraqi security force and all that. I'm sure there is, and of course I've seen it myself. But you mitigate your risk. And there are also steps that if you do find people that are complicit in illegal or illicit militia activity, that we can detain those folks. Does that mean that there's not any? Of course not. Does it mean that people aren't collecting intelligence on us? Of course not. They always are, no matter where we are.
The Mahdi militia is headed by radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Sadr City, which was Saddam City before the war, was renamed for Sadr's revered father. The sprawling neighborhood, half the size of Manhattan, has been largely a no-go zone where even Iraqi police fear to tread. And it's fiercely loyal to the Mahdi militia. But there's no sign of Mahdi in this wealthy palm-lined mahalla or sector of Sadr City the Americans are staking out. That's in part because Iraqi Prime Minister and Sadr ally Nouri al-Maliki forced the group underground. And the sector the Americans are in is on the outskirts, already distanced from Mahdi by relative wealth. Not to mention that the U.S. mission in Sadr City was announced ahead of time. Staff Sergeant Chance Seidel says in 3 days of searches, his men in the Iraqi police force haven't found a single insurgent or weapons caches. On this day, the only illicit weapons recovered are two AK-47s and a bolt-action rifle from families who had more than the single gun the security plan allows. But the joint team continues searching door to door. The routine is always the same. A knock by an Iraqi police officer while U.S. soldiers look on. A polite request for permission to come in. The residents agree, if somewhat nervously. An old woman in a flowered headscarf in this darkened two-story house watches as the soldiers and police officers use small flashlights and the lights on their machine guns because the electricity is out. She encourages them to pull back the curtains.
I'm 60 years old. I'm in the house.
Her husband is more resistant. He says, I'm 60, Kurdish, and peaceful. I don't even have a matchbox. But his wife tells the police officer she's happy and hopes what they are doing will put an end to terrorism. The team search floor by floor. Iraqi police officers open closets and suitcases. Private Nathan Ryder, 18, makes sure they do it right. A metal serving tray falls out of one cupboard. The police officer puts the tray back. They find nothing until Ryder enters the last room.
Who is Nazar?
Arkan. Oh, yeah. Yes.
So.
It's my sister.
Sister?
Oui. Yes. The Americans, a little message in there.
Nazar, in broken English, says in a handwritten note how much I love American. Her brother says she wanted to be here but had school, so she left the note.
With my best wishes to you and good luck, your friend, if you want, Nazar.
The next house provides Ryder with an unpleasant surprise.
Hey, Boudreaux.
Ryder has found a rifle sight. One of the occupants insists he had no weapon to go with it. The only one is an AK-47, which he shows to the team. Ryder finds out differently.
Okay. We got a liar, huh?
The resident looks frightened as Ryder holds up a pellet gun he found upstairs. The man and a relative argue about why it is in the house. Boudreaux and Ryder go to Seidel to figure out what to do. In the end, Seidel returns the pellet gun, but he confiscates the sight, which could be used to harm U.S. troops.
Some people use it for practice for sniper rifles, practice shooting. Yeah, I know you guys, Joe.
The embarrassed and offended residents repeatedly try to give him the pellet gun anyway. About a half mile away at the new joint security station, the new U.S. commander, Lieutenant Colonel Richard Kim, tries to open shop. It's not easy, as the rundown blue police building has no furniture save for a few plastic chairs and some crude metal tables.
I think you got to start somewhere. And that's what we're doing. We're starting somewhere. We're partnering up, working together, and show the people that it could be trusted, that whatever they're told before is not actually the truth.
Lieutenant Colonel Smiley acknowledges the only real security Sadr City knew before was provided by Mahdi Army, but he and Kim are determined to prove they are better neighbors and protectors than Mahdi ever was. Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Baghdad.